listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor David Reese from Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California. Good morning, Pastor Reese.
Good morning. How are you, Andy?
I am well. And you, sir? Thanks for starting your morning so early with us.
Well, it is a little bit early. The sun should be up here soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to studying God's Word with you. Tell us about Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California.
Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, it's 85 years old and one of the original churches in what we call the East Bay Delta of the San Francisco Bay Area. Used to be a heavy manufacturing community, but since has become a bedroom community for the greater San Francisco Bay Area. A lot of your listeners may know of Pittsburgh. It was the home of Camp Stoneman, and those listeners who may have gone into the Pacific Theater during World War II or the Korean War would have probably been through Camp Stoneman as they mustered out.
Well, thanks be to God that you're there proclaiming the good news of Jesus in Pittsburgh, California. And today we're studying Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 19. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we get ready to look at this text?
Well, this is a part, it begins back in Luke chapter 9, where at the Transfiguration, and this is now a record, Luke's record of Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, and this is about halfway through that particular narrative.
All right, Luke chapter 17 is what we're looking at. We're starting at verse 1 today, and let's take a look. And he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." Luke chapter 17 is what we're looking at today. We're studying with Pastor David Reese from Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, or toll free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor, he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin."
Yes, sir. And as we jump right into this text, and taking a look at it, I'll have some comments more that sort of bind all of these little pieces together. But I want to take a look at this idea of temptations, and our English translations really do not give the full weight of what this word. In the Greek, this word is skandalon, which is the root for scandal. In modern English, and it was, to really understand the Greek, we sort of have to understand it as a death trap that was baited. Okay, so these are things then that destroy spiritual life. They are things that destroy our faith, and there are really two emphases that our Lord is drawing here or pointing to. And it's really those who either are very weak in faith or brand new to the faith or haven't heard of the faith at all. And then also, and we'll see this a little more later, with disciples who have faith. So if we take a look at it and we think about all of those things in our world today that will keep someone from believing the gospel, that will lead them to believe that they are doing just fine. Thank you very much. And there's nothing more that is required. Everyone's going to go to heaven, and it's going to be a big party at the end. And we who are of the faith know that simply isn't true, that our salvation depends upon faith in Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone. And so the Lord very, very strongly speaks to His disciples, and this is not just the 12 apostles. Later in the text, He speaks to just the 12 apostles, but right now He's speaking to a much larger group of disciples, and He's saying that anyone who would cause one of these with a fledgling faith or a new faith to fall away, it would be better that they would be bound and weighted and cast into the sea, where no one would ever see them or hear of them again. It's pretty strong words from the Lord. And when we think of all of the things that we may have done as individuals that have damaged someone else's faith, either we have become too complicit with the law, or we have become too stringent or too strident with the law, and too attacking of other people. And woe to us if that happens, that we are the cause of someone to either lose their faith or, worse yet, to never hear the gospel, that the Holy Spirit can work that miracle of faith within the person. It's a heavy thing to start out our morning with, to consider that it may be us that have caused somebody else to stumble or fall. And we can certainly look in just in the world around us, and we can find all kinds of examples of people who have been scandalized either by the faith or by other faiths acting, when we think of things that are going on in the Middle East and Christians who have been beheaded and otherwise martyred, that those are certainly scandalous to us. But how much of what we do also scandalizes others? And that's really what the Lord is talking about here.
Temptation. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. You were cast in the sea. Should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves, he says. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. What does this say about repentance and forgiveness?
Well, repentance comes from faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have repentance. Right? It's we talk about contrition in the heart, feeling the guilt of what we have done, and then we confess with our lips what we have done, and then that our response then as having received those words from a brother or a sister or someone that we would then forgive them. And Jesus goes very, very clearly here and points out that it's not a matter of how many times they have sinned. It's not a matter of you are not allowed to withhold forgiveness. But I think that it's important for us to remember that repentance is always going to begin with faith. I would not know, Paul says, what it was to covet if I didn't have faith. Now, he doesn't say it in exactly those words, but essentially that's what he's saying. That when I came to faith, before I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I thought I was perfect. That's what Paul is saying. And then he says, when I come to faith, then I had the knowledge of my sin. And so that faith then precedes the repentance. The faith that the Holy Spirit creates in a person's heart leads them then to repent. And when we hear those words of repentance, we don't judge the words. We simply forgive the words. We get our pattern of forgiveness from Jesus. How many times must a person forgive? And essentially, Jesus says here and in other places in Scripture, whenever a person repents, forgive them. There is no limit to forgiveness. We have to look at our own selves. We say, you know, I daily sin much, every single day. And yet, here early in the morning in California and mid-morning in Missouri, we've already committed so many sins that we aren't even aware of, that we begin our days with confession, and we begin we end our days with confession, that we have fallen short of the glory of God. We need to hear those words of forgiveness as much as others need to hear those words of forgiveness from us.
Anything else up through verse 4 before we go on to 5 and 6?
No, I think we've covered that. Let's go ahead and go on to 5 and 6.
The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey. If you have faith of a mustard seed, like a grain of mustard seed.
Right, and you know, that's pretty small faith. So what are we talking about? And I think it's important at this point in time for us to consider that there are really three definitions for the word faith. We can look at faith as being the faith that is believed. We can look at it as the faith that believes. And then there is in some of Paul's letters, when he's talking about the spiritual gifts, there is the spiritual gift of faith. And so I think that it's important always to distinguish, you know, what faith are we really talking about here? So if this is the faith that believes is a gift from the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that we can do to gain that faith. There's no acts or no works or no method that we can employ that would lead us to have that faith. What we have the power to do is to reject that faith. Okay? And that's where Jesus was going with the opening verses of our text. You know, that's what he was saying. All right, so that this is a convenient handle for this idea of faith is to consider it as a light switch. Either that faith is on or it's off. Either we have that faith or we don't have that faith. Again, it is only the power of the Holy Spirit that brings us that faith. Now, once that faith is established, then that brings us to the faith that is believed. And then that is the explanation of what we believe and why we believe it. That increases over a course of time. And I think that that's what the apostles are speaking here. They're saying, increase our faith. Give us more faith. You have just asked us to act from this, you know, our human nature wants to punish people for any time that they've sinned against us rather than forgive them. And Jesus is telling the apostles here, give that forgiveness. No matter what, give them that forgiveness. And the apostles are saying, yeah, I need to understand more. If I'm going to do this thing, I need to understand more. Increase our faith. Increase our knowledge. And Jesus comes right back at them. And he comes right back at us. How many times have you heard someone say, oh, I wish I knew more. Or I had, you know, I just don't know the Bible well enough. Or I just, you know, I can't explain my faith to someone else. And all of those kinds of expressions. And Jesus is saying, no. This kind of little tiny seed. Now, probably some of the listeners have seen a mustard seed, but it might be easier, more common, more frequent for us to think of a poppy seed, something that is just so small, something that's so small that you would just ignore it. You would just, and Jesus is saying, as long as you know, as long as you know, that's enough faith to do these miraculous things, because it is not you that does them.
We're studying the daily.
It is the Holy Spirit.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor David Rees from Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California. We're in Luke chapter 17. If you have a question or a comment today, give us a call, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back here on the Daily Lectionary on His Time. Just a moment.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Jesus said, "Because I live, you will live also." Indeed, in Christ you possess an everlasting guarantee, not written on some fragile piece of perishable paper, but engraved instead on your heart through your baptism, signed, sealed, and delivered to you by the one who was delivered unto death for you. I'll talk about the impact of that eternal deliverance on the next Moments of Assurance coming up this Sunday at 9:15 a.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
It's the perfect time of year to move to sunny, affordable Central Florida. Join fellow Lutherans at The Landings at Lutheran Haven. Known for comfortable retirement living since 1948, The Landings are brand new villas from the mid-100s. Enjoy carefree living that includes meals, housekeeping, and a full continuum of health services on campus. Live and grow with Christ at The Landings. For information, phone 888-298-5590 or visit lutheranhaven.org/KFUO.
Listening to the Daily Lectionary on His Time, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. We're studying with Pastor David Rees at Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California today. We're in Luke chapter 17. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 7?
Yes, we can.
All right. Well, anything else before we go on to 7? Anything else that
we
need to cover?
Just, we came up against a heartbreak there very, very quickly. And back to this idea of the mustard seed or the poppy seed or whatever, that sometimes we look at things as being just impossible for us to do. And what the Lord is telling us is, it's not you that does it. It's God that does them. You are just merely a vessel that He is using. And so whatever faith you have is faith enough for the time that you need it. Okay, let's go on.
All right. Luke chapter 17, verse 7. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink"? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." All right. So any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, would you say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and recline at table"? Come on in, sit down.
Yeah, this just works perfectly following the previous little snippet about the mustard seed. And Jesus is really saying to us, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to have to do because you are my disciples, that you are people of faith, that you have been given this gift of faith by the power of the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism. And we renew that as you do recline at the table and take the body and blood of our Lord. But because you are my disciples, you are going to do this and so much more. And there are going to be times that you are dog-tired, that you have just been exhausted, and there is still more to do. Probably every person, regardless of their occupation, leaves work and comes home, and there is still stuff left at work to do. There is still more that could have been done. And they come, and then they've got to deal with all those things at home, and it's so thankless. And as they're doing it, and we transfer this to the knowledge of the things that we do because we are faithful disciples of Christ, we do it not counting the cost. We do it because that's what we do. That's what we do as unworthy servants. And we don't expect thanks for what we have done. It's always been kind of interesting to me that so often when an aid agency is giving aid to places where disaster has struck, and the aid agency makes sure that you know exactly who was that did this and what they did. And yet, there are so many Christian organizations, and you know, I particularly include the LCMS and the aid that we have given, and that's all done anonymously. There is no expectation of thanks. We have only done what it is our duty through faith to do. It's a beautiful picture for us as we deal with other people in our lives. Don't do it because you think you're going to be thanked, and don't withhold it because someone didn't thank you. Do it anyway.
Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink afterward? You will eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So also, you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.
Exactly. And, you know, that's exactly what I have been saying here, that they, drawing from this root of faith in Christ and him alone is the source of strength that allows for a person to do these things. And we're really talking about, this is what you do because you are a person of faith. And he uses this parable of a person who is dog-tired and not expecting any thanks, but continuing to work until the work is done. And then simply to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Not thank you, good and faithful servants, but well done. You have done what was required of you because you are my servants. And they will know you are my disciples. And the truth shall set you free. This is part of that truth. Don't let the reception of or the withholding of thanks change what it is that you're doing or the way that you are doing it. If we go back a few verses, that begins with forgiveness and then moves on to these other areas.
All right, shall we go on to verse 11?
Okay.
On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So on the way to Jerusalem, passing along between Samaria and Galilee, as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, have mercy on us.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this occurs at some day. You know, if we take Luke as a chronological account of Jesus' life, and particularly picking up from the Transfiguration back in chapter 9 and moving forward, this little piece here doesn't seem to fit. Either that or Jesus is moving very, very slowly through the land that he is traveling. So this may have been inserted by Luke as part of using the unworthy servant's idea to spring then into another actual work, that Jesus cleanses these 10 lepers. He is on the way to Jerusalem. He cleanses the 10 lepers. The 9 go on to Jerusalem to show themselves to the chief priests and to do those acts of ceremonial cleansing that they need to do. 1, the Samaritan comes back to Jesus. Couple of things here. 1, he can't go to the temple anyway. He's a Samaritan. All right. So, assuming that the other 9 are Jews, they are going to be restored to their place in Jewish society as they do these requirements at the temple. The Samaritan, that's not an option for him. So we could look at it that way and say, well, you know, what else is he going to do? Well, he's not going to go to the temple to cleanse himself anyway. He's a Samaritan. But we take a look at it, and Jesus is saying that nobody had to come back and give thanks. Nobody had to. But this one who you would not expect this thankfulness to come from, is the one that came back and fell at Jesus' feet, praising God for this grace that he has received, for this healing that he has received. And Jesus comments on it. He says, brother, what's happened here? Why are they going on? Why are they going back to be restored to their society? Well, in one way, that's exactly what Jesus told them to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. But he's saying that, when you're just doing your duty, sometimes you do need to stop and consider the source. And this Samaritan does. He considers the source of the blessings that he has received from the hand of God. And he falls down giving praise and glory to God for the grace that he has received. How much of our own lives and our own time do we want to take the credit and not see that the credit belongs to God? The credit belongs to Christ.
So the one leper returns, well, no longer a leper, and falls down and gives thanks to God. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice, fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He's a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" The fact that he's a Samaritan, what does that mean for all of this?
Well, there's really no reason for him to go to Jerusalem and go to the temple there, because he's not going to be restored to full communion with the Jewish people. He is cleansed with all of them, right? They have all been cleansed. At another time that Jesus cleanses first and then tells the former leper to go to the temple. And here he says, go to the temple, and on their way they discover that they are cleansed. And so Jesus certainly says, where are the 9? Where are the 9? Why did they not come back and glorify God? Why did this Samaritan do that? One of the reasons might be that the Samaritan had nothing else to do. He was down. We could look at it in sin and grace terms. When you are down so low, when you have been brought so low, and leprosy, the scourge of that disease at the time of Jesus, brought a person so low, they could no longer have contact with their family, with their societies. They lived outside. They had to wear bells around their neck to warn others that they were approaching. And this hideous disease of yesteryear. And we can think of when just being beaten down so low, and then to have received grace to recognize how unclean we are. This is physical leprosy in Jesus' narrative, but the spiritual leprosy that so invades our soul, and to realize that that has been cleansed. Aren't we then going to, at the same time, with the same breath, praise God, because he has seen to all of our needs. We have been cleansed from this leprosy of sin and put on the right path, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what God has done for us in Christ. It's a marvelous, marvelous picture. And so we need to spend our lives then in lives of thankful living, to live in thankfulness, in glory to God, in praise to God for all that he has done. Back when I was a vicar in Arizona, one of the members of the congregation there took me out to play golf. You know, and as a vicar, you don't have much money. And so this was a big deal. Went to the country club and played golf with this guy all that day. And as we're leaving, I said, well, thanks very much for taking me out and having this day of golf. And he says, oh, don't thank me. He says, thank God that I could. And that always has stood out in my mind, that that is a way for us to live our lives. To live lives of thankfulness to God that we could do what he has asked. And even more, if we had faith just the size of a mustard seed.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text? It's interesting. You know, today is also Ascension. I don't know if there's anything particular about this that that points us to the Ascension, but anything else about this text today?
Well, Kai, just a couple of things here. Not only is it Ascension Day, it's also the National Day of Prayer.
This is true.
So, you know, as we take a look at all of those things, and certainly our prayers should be anointed with that oil of joy that we bear in thankfulness to God for all that he has done, and certainly that the idea of the Ascension, and that brings us then to it brings us to that point of thankfulness that God has completed everything in our place. As regards our text here, we've been talking a lot about faith, and what we have here, I think, is kind of like a faith sandwich, if you will. The outside, the beginning and the end of it were like the bread of faith. And Jesus is talking about saving faith, faith that that saves us. And then in the middle there is the meat of the sandwich, or the faith that saves, and our response to that. So we've got at the beginning, at the end, the faith that the Holy Spirit has created in our hearts, and then in the center, okay, so what? What does that look like as it's lived out in your lives? And so hopefully then our listeners can take this faith sandwich with them. Spend some time today in prayer for themselves, for their neighbors, for our nation. Remembering always with great gratitude and thanksgiving the gift that we have received of forgiveness of sins and life everlasting from the one who ascended on this day so many years ago and has promised, I will be coming back to take you to be where I am.
Our guest today, Pastor David Reese, Grace Lutheran Church, Pittsburgh, California. Pastor Reese, thanks so much for being our guest, helping us study this text in Luke chapter 17 today.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
God bless you and all the saints there at Grace Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, California. Coming up in just a little bit, Historically Speaking, with our friend Dr. Daniel Harmelink at Concordia Historical Institute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.